Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers.
Yes.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Yeah, my it doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Tokens Radio Show. It's Sunday, June the 23rd. It's June 23rd already. Oh, my goodness.
I know. This is crazy.
Oh, wow. We're back in the studio after having a break. It was nice to get away.
Mm-hmm.
My name's Christy Matthews.
I'm Linda Kent.
I'm Peter.
And I'm Elizabeth.
The whole crew's here, and we have Christina in the booth. Welcome back, our
friend.
Yeah,
welcome back.
Yeah, so good to have you here. Missed you.
I miss you, too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, by the way.
Good afternoon. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yes, it is. Not as warm, but it's still beautiful.
Shh.
It looks nice outside. I'm glad we're not out in it.
Jinx us.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're broadcasting live from the studios of KCNR in Redding, California on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. You can stream us online at kcnr1460.com to catch today's show and access our past shows. Follow us on Telegram and X for updates at Tokens Radio Show. You know, gosh, there's been a lot going on in the news, and Bitcoin's been leading the way, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah. You know, the show, it has not been a political show, but it has overtones.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But as Bitcoin becomes more front and center, it's becoming, it's in the political spotlight more, and we're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, and there's reasons for that.
Yes, there is.
There really is. And it's, yeah. We will discuss.
So we're going to get to that in just a moment, but first of all, let's have a market update. And Peter?
Well, currently, Bitcoin is clocking in at $63,693 per token.
Ouch.
Larry Fink's
Yay.
IBIT ETF is currently trading as of Friday's close at $36.45. The up-to-date price on Ethereum is $3,433.
Wow.
XRP is now under half a buck at 48 cents.
That's gone down, I think.
Mm-hmm. It has.
And trailing our list, currently in 31st position on CoinMarketCap, is Stellar Lumens, or XLM, at 9 cents.
Oh, that's also taken a dip too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a buying opportunity, but it's not financial advice, of course.
It depends on which one.
Yeah,
depends on which one you're referring to, and for what?
Well, I think they're all buying opportunities. Yeah. In my mind, you know.
Yeah, I don't know about XLM. I don't. Oh, and the favorite ETH.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that, but.
Yeah. But, you know, if you watch the market and stuff, you know.
Yeah, you know, they're in the okay camp now, so yeah. Maybe we shouldn't be slamming them.
Sometimes you got to put your toe in the water just a little bit on something.
I'm not putting my toe in that pond.
You're not going over to France?
No.
That's a story for another day with their stuff over there. Anyway, today's show is sponsored by the Queen of Dragons, home to Pinnacle Cultivators. Their carefully cultivated, unique strands offer elevated experience with exotic genetics and robust flavors. The Queen of Dragons is known for fair pricing, stringent quality control, and knowledgeable staff. Stay connected by following at Queen Dragons on X or calling 530-276-9771.
If you would like to join in on our discussion, give the station a call at 530-605-4567 or hit us up in the chat at kcnr1460.com.
Yes, yeah. Excellent. We'd love to talk with you, especially on some of the topics that we have today. I'm sure you may have an opinion about them. So why don't we go ahead and start off with this this little ditty here from, it was on swan.com, and it's entitled, Bitcoin is Spreading Faster Than the Internet. And why don't we go ahead and play that now?
Here we go.
I think we'll always be surprised by how fast Bitcoin takes off. In the developed world, it's going to take off primarily for shopping and e-commerce and, you know, getting around difficult forms of finance and capital flows. But there's also this vast in between where we are and where Zimbabwe is, for example. And there's 100 currencies in there that could benefit from Bitcoin. I think we're going to be surprised again. The internet took 15 years to bloom into its full mainstream adoption, and it's still accelerating, by the way. But those 15 years also involve putting down infrastructure, copper wires, fiber optics, data centers, cell phone infrastructure, and modems, PCs that were barely ahead of that game and spreading at the same time. With Bitcoin, all you need to do is download an app. That's the infrastructure. We don't need to lay any papers. We already got one. Not only is it going to spread much faster than the internet, it's actually going to accelerate the spread of the internet itself.
Wow, what a mouthful.
Yeah.
That was Andreas Antonopoulos. I have not heard from that guy in quite a while, but during the mid-20-teens, he was the number one teacher for all of Bitcoin, and he pretty much held the whole world on his back.
He did. Yeah, if you wanted to get Bitcoin certification, it was going to come from his group.
Yeah, I think we're definitely all a little indebted to him and his work.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So he said some important points there. And how fast it's going to take off. I mean, it took several years for the internet to build out. This is partly used by the internet, right? And so the rails are there, so it should take off much faster. So and it's available anywhere, phone, desktop,
yeah, that's
laptop.
It's a little bit different than the internet,
sure,
quote unquote, was, you know, because it's everywhere now. Bitcoin is all global, where the internet took a while to get global.
True, and then he mentioned several currencies that would benefit from Bitcoin. Zimbabwe was mentioned. We've talked about Zimbabwe a few times recently, and it's interesting how they just came out with their new currency, a digital currency backed by gold, and they do accept Bitcoin and use Bitcoin quite a bit in their country. So, it was interesting to hear that. I don't know when that video came out. I think it's a little bit older than...
It's probably a little dated.
Yes.
But still true. And I dare I say, I feel like we are in a financial revolution.
Yes.
Or renaissance. Mm-hmm. And with the internet's kind of framework already being laid, it's much easier for people, like he said, to download an app and kind of join the larger financial global scale, where we've heard stories of even a lot of people in Ethiopia and other countries never even had a bank account, or just a lot of debanked people. And now it's very simple. You don't get to see if somebody approves you or not.
Right.
But, yeah, you get to go in and you get to also have savings, right, have your money free from a system that's highly inflated. So I think that it just really excites me.
What's nice is that
anyone can join.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It doesn't know your color, what your age is, who you are, what country you're from. It
anybody
has
can
no
join
bearing
in.
On it.
Anyone. Yeah.
And I think the rule's not rulers. So going in, you know what the Bitcoin protocol is, where sometimes even here in the U.S., I'm like, I don't know what are all the rules at the Federal Reserve for money and all the lawlessness and all of that. But with this, we do know, and you kind of know what you're joining. So that's such a reward to be able to get to be in something like that.
Yeah. Well, to your point, I'm sorry. Einstein said that the tax code was the most complicated. You know, there's so many pages to the tax code, you could go around the world, you know, three or four times, you know, basically.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, he talked about Bitcoin growing faster than the internet, which is a good segue to, and Andreas Antonopoulos. I can't say that.
Antonopoulos.
Right.
A-A. Okay.
Five times.
Yes.
Right.
I will not tell you. But he started off the Bitcoin education. He's the first who had a formatted educational profile and where you can go ahead and take classes and pass a certification. And now that has moved on, and another country has taken the lead on that, and that's El Salvador. And their program called Mi Primer or Premier.
Primer, yeah. Yeah, Mi Primer Bitcoin, which means my first Bitcoin. And something that I love about the founder of this, which we'll get into, and Andreas, they just started kind of with a small beginning, just two passionate people that really believe that Bitcoin education can change the world. And that's what this article, is titled. It has so much conviction, right, and weight on it. But
the guy sold everything and bought a one-way ticket to El Salvador.
Right.
I think he may have taken a pit stop in Ecuador first or something.
Yes.
But it sounded like he was in the pandemic in New York. That must have been quite a time.
Right.
So one of the only things that he could do is take walks and just think about like the state of the world and be like, I want to make a difference. And I think that one way that I could do that is by making Bitcoin education more accessible to the world. But anyway, so then he did end up moving to El Salvador and setting up a nonprofit there. And this gentleman's name is John Dennehy. Sorry, I don't know why I'm keeping that a secret here. And he developed a Bitcoin education program/curriculum. And now that the nonprofit has 21 other people, so I'm sure he had other co-laborers who have just done a great job to put this together. And what's great about his material, or the Mi Primer Bitcoins material, is that it's all free.
Yes.
It's all free, and you can download it on GitHub. If you go to this article, if you type in like Bitcoin Magazine, Mi Primer Bitcoin or My First Bitcoin, in the article is the link to it. And I've actually utilized this curriculum. It's like a little workbook, and they really have broken down what is Bitcoin and how do you use it. It's such a it's actually for kids. Actually, I should have said that earlier. So.
Well, it's part of their education system, isn't it? That all of the students in El Salvador are required to have Bitcoin education to be able to graduate.
Yes, so that became huge, because at first I think they did it in kind of like as a pilot in some schools, and it went so well. And the kids were just learning how to transact on that it just went on a national level there. And now why it's in Bitcoin Magazine again is because it's going on a global level.
Yes.
And, you know, even here in Reading, I'm using it.
That's right.
So they've had thousands of students, and it's just really cool to see how just this education being, I guess, used and so integral to helping people use Bitcoin simply. So if you want to learn more about it, I definitely recommend going on My First Bitcoin's site to see what resources they have to download.
Yeah. Now, you had mentioned it's here in Reading as well. There was a class that was scheduled just a couple of weeks ago that you had some involvement with Alan Jackson as well, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Alan Jackson is a Reading local who has also just been floored by the work that Mi Primer Bitcoin has done, and he said, I want to bring this to Reading. So the curriculum is in English and Spanish, so he wanted to focus on doing a class in Spanish. It may pick up again in the fall, so stay tuned. We'll give you some dates, but this will be a small group where you can get just about one-on-one help and ask a lot of questions and just come to learn and go through the curriculum. So if you're a Spanish speaker and free in the fall, you should definitely come out to the class, meet other Bitcoiners or just other people curious about financial freedom. Good use of your time.
That's way cool. How about the English version? Will you be doing one of those as well?
I think we should do that here on the show. We should talk about doing something like that, because there's just still so many questions with people in the community, and just want to kind of get everyone up to speed.
Yeah, that's terrific. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need that. I mean, we were talking before we came on air today that, you know, many times when we come on air, it's kind of like, it seems like a podcast feel, and we're kind of expecting you all to just kind of be up to date with us, but we realize that maybe that may not be the case, and some of you are just dipping your toe in the water right now and hearing more and more about Bitcoin and want to learn a little bit more about that. And we're going to do our best to just bring it back to the basics help all of you that are out there who are thinking about that and just dipping the toe in the water and want to learn more.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've always been about, is the education piece. And sometimes, you know, because we're all on different levels, mm-hmm. we assume that everybody else is graduating or have this knowledge, or like you said before the show, our sidebar conversations. We learn a lot in those. And so taking it back and just doing pure education on it is really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he went on, you mentioned that he, John Denehy, had made a stop in Ecuador first, right? Yeah. And then he was talking to here that he tried to educate friends about Bitcoin, but he struggled to get people to meet in person because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just, what a terrible time all of that was. But it also brought this. Who do you think that if we didn't have the pandemic, that we might be as far along with Bitcoin as we are now?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah. I think this has definitely pushed it forward.
I do too.
I think people had time to do some look at different things too during that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of bad things during the pandemic. There was a few good things that came out of the pandemic. I don't think that they were ready for to come out of the pandemic.
I don't think they wanted us out of the pandemic at all.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, look at the parents got more involved in the kids' education.
They
piece.
Had no idea they what was going no on idea. Until they had those Zoom classes.
Yeah, and then they're looking over their shoulder going, whoa, what's
that's
that?
That's led to the parental rights movement. Mm-hmm. It's just so many things have come out of that horrible situation. Mm-hmm. That so for every bad, yeah. It's generally and good we, that yeah. comes out of it at some point in time.
And if you just want to look at it from a high level, I think we all saw that certain options that we had and used every day became restricted. So yeah. That's a good way to put it, right? It's
yeah.
Thinking about it. And then that just kind of makes one think, I need to get other options. And if we're even thinking about options to pay for things, it's like, why wouldn't you want Bitcoin? If you can only pay or barter for things with one or two things, you're just going to be limited. So it's just expanding your scope in that way to have more options. So if you're restricted in one area, guess what? You have another way that you can go about it.
Yeah, and saying that, it goes back to freedom, right? Mm-hmm. We realized yeah. how much yeah. we were yeah. were
losing freedom.
Yeah, right. Losing the freedom, closed down, shut down, being, you know, put in a little box. Go, hey, I don't like this.
So it seems as though he was in Ecuador, and because of the pandemic and the restrictions there, he had learned that El Salvador was much more free and had learned that that President Bukele was going to work on making Bitcoin legal tender. And it was a free and open country. Mm-hmm. You know, they were not locked down, were they?
You know, that was such a bold move on
yes,
his part.
Yes, it was.
He basically flipped off the International Monetary Fund when he did that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Paid them off early, too.
And it was kind of touch and go there when he did that. But you know what? It looks like he made it. Looks like he's airborne and off to the...
And who would have thought that a country like El Salvador would be that bold? You know, to make the first step like they did.
Yes. And when I was there, I learned that a nickname for El Salvador is the flea of Latin America. And and that just goes back to, like, don't despise small beginnings, because who would have thought that the flea would bring about this freedom, monetary freedom
right.
revolution?
But the flea has the most to gain. It's perfect. It's appropriate.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's really cool in here. And I think of Alan Jackson, when it said, when Denehy landed in El Salvador, he had to start recruiting both students and teachers. And so his tactic was to talk to every Salvadorian he met, the Uber driver, the waitress at the restaurant, the person standing next to him waiting to cross the street. He talked to everybody about Bitcoin. And I got to say, that is so true about Alan.
Yes, it is true. Yeah.
He goes to a restaurant. He talks to the waitress. He introduces Bitcoin, asks them if they have ever transacted in Bitcoin, hooks them up with a wallet right away, and
Bitcoin.
Tips them with some free Bitcoin. And he does this all over the world. He's a pilot, and so he gets he has many opportunities to meet people and spread the message of adoption, and it's pretty cool. And
it is.
I don't know. I just made me think about him when I'm reading this. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you, Alan.
Yeah.
So we had invited him on the show, by the way, but and he is flying somewhere today.
Yeah. We'll get him on. But, yeah, you are right in what you said, Chris, that, Yeah, he talks to anybody, everybody. He, no qualms. Everybody out the gate. There he goes.
I think he hooked up Christina with some Bitcoin, didn't he?
I think so.
And some, and Liam as well.
Yeah.
So he cracks me up. So, you know, other things that are going on in South America, too, that are pretty cool. And people who are shaking things up, you have President Bukele in El Salvador, and then you have Javier Milei in Argentina. And he's an interesting character.
Hey, that's one way to put it. He's very interesting.
Charismatic.
Charismatic is a great way to put that. So if everybody can go back maybe 6 months or so when the elections were making our news headlines about this crazy guy in Argentina who had the funky haircut
and a pet chainsaw
and the pet chainsaw but he's an economist by trade, and he went in there and he is free market, you know. He is anti-socialist, anti-Marxism, and he wanted to change things in his country, and he has done that in a big way. And when you look at his socialist neighbors, such as
Brazil Colombia.
And Colombia. Yes. So you have Argentina, who has surpluses every month since he has been in office. It's been, 6 months?
Yeah. He was inaugurated in December.
Okay. So six months of surplus. Yeah. And then Colombia and Brazil is further and further inflation, devalued money, or poverty.
It would be hard to believe that you could see such a difference in 6 months in a nation.
Yeah.
And because he's made such a difference, it just makes one compare to the neighbors. And what it, in doing that, you just, it exposed them for failing because of socialism. And like Chrissy was saying, they've had, this is the first time, I guess since he's been in, that they've had a surplus in more than a decade and a half.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yes.
And not, I mean, last year they were considered a economic basket case, and now he's producing, I guess the more money that the government's making than in their debt and in the interest. So that's pretty crazy. And it's also sad because you would think, okay, maybe the other countries would come and want to learn from him. But Lula, who's the Brazilian president, and Gustavo Petro over in Colombia, they just criticize him.
They snub
a lot. And I mean, this year, Colombia expects to have the largest fiscal deficit since in the country. So that is just really crazy, and I mean, really makes you think something has to change, something has to happen.
Do you think there's some parallels to our own country here?
I definitely do, and I just hope that people can just wake up and see it, because it's
hint hint for the reason why it's on the show today.
But but I have to say about him, he didn't care who he told about it.
Right.
He went in front of the World Health Organization and pretty much, the
World Economic Forum
them about
their
ways, you know, and said, hey, and he was telling the whole world, do not follow these people. Do not, get sucked into this stuff, because it doesn't work. You don't have your freedom. And so you usually don't see somebody that outspoken stand up like that again, like Alan or whatever. It seems like he'll talk to anybody about what's going on and how to keep your freedom.
Yeah, and just going back to basics, such as if you can't pay for something, you can't buy it.
Right.
And he's have the number of federal agencies from 18 to 9, and that can definitely seem drastic, but that country definitely needed something drastic, and just how that has had such a positive impact.
Have you ever had to pull back on your own budget? I think
Somehow
we just find a way, right? So if we had our own, look at our own department, so to speak, within our own budget, and you start slashing off the ones that are not as important, gosh, we are still functioning, aren't we?
Yep, we always manage.
So to his point, slashing quite a bit of bloat in his government has helped the people tremendously.
Yeah, just think what would happen in a lot of countries with that. And with that, I think we need to take a break And we will pick up this conversation on the other side. You're listening to Tokens Radio Show here on KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Now two flags fly above my land and really sum up how I feel. One is the colors that fly high and proud, the red, the white, the blue. The other one's got a rattlesnake with a simple statement made. Don't tread on me is what it says, and I'll take that to my grave.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator, exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
This week's Town Hall News Brief, I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local update. In a surprising and contentious turn of events, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors has elected Tom Toller, a semi-retired Redding attorney, as the new county clerk and registrar of voters. Toller, a former deputy district attorney for Shasta County, was chosen in a closely divided 3-2 vote, with Kevin Cry, Patrick Jones, and Chris Kellstrom in favor, and Mary Rickard and Tim Garman opposed. Toller's selection comes after a rigorous 2-day interview process where 39 applicants were narrowed down to 8 and ultimately 4 finalists. Despite his lack of experience in running elections, Toller expressed his gratitude and commitment to bringing transparency to the office and increasing public confidence in the voting process. As Shasta County navigates this new chapter, residents eagerly await the changes Toller will bring to the office. As the county welcomes new leadership, Shasta County's 2023 to 2024 grand jury leaves a lasting impact as they pass the torch to a new set of jurors. The Shasta County grand jury of 2023 to 2024 proved to be one of the most productive panels in recent years, delivering 7 impactful reports on various issues across the county. Four-person Molly Schneider, who played a crucial role in selecting investigation topics and submitting the final report, shared her team's dedication, sometimes working up to 60 hours a week. The jury tackled a range of issues, from sickness in the jail to water supply management and the county's legal fees. Schneider expressed her love for the opportunity to be involved as a citizen and quietly do the work. The new jurors, who will serve until June 2025, spent Tuesday morning undergoing training for their year-long positions. We wish the new grand jury the best in employing critical thinking skills before making decisions that impact the community. In other news, a significant boost to the nursing program at Simpson University is on the horizon thanks to a generous $500,000 grant from the Fletcher Jones Foundation. The funds will be used to purchase advanced medical simulation training mannequins and hire additional instructors. This allows the university to increase its annual graduating class of registered nurses from 54 to 90 students. The expansion plans also include the launch of a new Master of Science in the nursing program to train family nurse practitioners who are in high demand across the North State due to a chronic physician shortage. The grant will enable the university to acquire 3 state-of-the-art electronic medical simulator training devices, retiring one of its current mannequins, and increasing the total to 11. Meanwhile, Reading's downtown came alive on Friday with the grand opening of Whistle Stop Park, a vibrant new outdoor concert venue and green space. The city's newest park, located next to the California Place Apartments and Shasta College's downtown campus, proved that great things come in small packages. Mayor Tanessa Audet and other community leaders gathered for a ribbon-cutting ceremony, while attendees enjoyed free live music, commemorative swag, food, and drinks. The park's opening celebration featured a beer and wine garden, a free bike valet service, and the unveiling of a captivating art installation utilizing water and light. Despite its modest size of 0.31 acres, Whistle Stop Park offers a delightful space for relaxation, public events, and private gatherings, serving as a focal point in Reading's ongoing downtown revitalization efforts. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
Am I the only one sitting here? Still holding on, holding back my tears for the ones who paid with the lives they gave. God bless the USA. I'm not the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue. Burning on the ground, another statue coming down in a town near you. Watching the
and we're back. Sorry, I was doing something. Anyway, before we took the break, we were talking about El Salvador and Argentina and all of that going on. I think you had something you wanted to add, Elizabeth, before we move on.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify something. So this year, Colombia expects to have its largest fiscal deficit since Petro took office in 2022. I think I said in the country's history, but speaking of country's history, Brazil, since Lula's government took over in 2023, they've produced the second highest primary deficit in the country's history.
And they took him out of prison to do that job.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even know that.
The
track record is tracking.
But somehow he just got out of prison and he's president.
Yeah. I wanted to ask Peter to say a point that he shared on the break, because we were talking about how just Argentina's success is kind of exposing its neighbors. And you mentioned that Bitcoin is exposing some things. Would you like to say that again?
Bitcoin exposes a lot of things. Bitcoin, in effect, exposes every other kind of money.
Yeah.
For 5,000 years, gold, it was gold's job and gold's role to expose every other kind of money, because the supply of gold is governed by nature. There's only so much, and technology is not going to really increase the production of gold that much beyond a certain point. But, you know, even gold coins but from kings were always debased, and they were trimmed, and the value was, you know, 100% 1 year, 90% a few years later, 80% a few years later. It was always debased and otherwise abused. But Bitcoin really exposes every other kind of money, is going to keep every other kind of money honest, and it's going to happen more and more and more. It's already happening a lot right now.
Yes, I agree 100% with that. And it's interesting when you had said that they were shaving the coins. It's true.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's why we have the notches, right?
Notches, thank you.
I want to say it was Sir Isaac Newton, who was the head of the mint in the early 1700s, that came up with that one. I'll have to fact check my own BS, though, on that one.
Well, you know, you mentioned the notches, but they found some other way to mess with the metal, and by adding
some of them would add stuff, to the center,
right?
Make them have the weight, but not really be.
Once upon a time, we used to have silver coins, but doggone if you can find one now.
You don't see them very often anymore in change or anything. Yeah, they won't work in the machines or anything nowadays. They're too heavy; it kicks them out a lot of times.
Well, there was a gentleman named Bill Miller, and he's a certified financial analyst, and he wrote an article, I think it started in 2015, and he updated it, and says, why I'm still betting on Bitcoin. And Peter's going to go into this one here. There was a paragraph that he'd like to read, and we're going to chat about that.
This is absolute poetry, guys, and this is from Mr. Miller. Here we go. Unlike anything we have seen before, Bitcoin is a true technological breakthrough, as there now exists an effectively unalterable, automated, and transparent global ledger network with decentralized governance enabling the transfer of property rights through time and space without human permission or the possibility of confiscation. The promise of Bitcoin is simple, namely that changes in someone's purchasing power should not be controlled by an authority tied to the circumstances of one's birth.
Oh,
yeah.
That is poetic.
Yep. So
oh my
powerful.
God. I wish I had written that.
Yeah.
Don't we? Very well said.
He goes on to say, what's the intrinsic value of that? Not one can say precisely, but his view is that many multiples of its current 1.5 trillion market capitalization in a world of fiat governance systems fast approaching $1 quadrillion of capital. In other words, Bitcoin still holds a fraction of 1% of the world's addressable market for capital, despite its blockchain being far more accountable and secure than the best fiat monetary governance mm-hmm. system. When he talked about it being a decentralized ledger, a global ledger, and that's what we all love about it, is
yeah.
that
yeah.
everybody who has the blockchain has a copy of the is a copy of the ledger on every miner around the world, and they all must match.
Well, there's another global ledger. It's at the Bank of International Settlements.
Sure.
That's the central bank of central bank. And make no mistake, they keep a ledger. But that's not the real ledger. That's a fake ledger. That's
right.
an elastic make-believe ledger.
Right.
There's only one real world ledger.
That's right.
Well,
and we don't get to see
we
the
don't
Bank
get
of
to
International
look at.
Settlements ledger. I mean, they can show some of the books, but we would have to do some sort of request to be able to see it. But with Bitcoin, you just get to see it.
Yeah.
It's open and available to everybody.
And the transactions with the international bank doesn't matter. They don't have to ask your permission to go ahead and do whatever they're doing if their ledger matches. Do the numbers match? Do they make sense? They don't have to answer to anybody. They just go.
Kind of how central bankers have always operated.
Just go.
That's why they had to keep their meeting at Jekyll Island a secret.
Good point. But, yeah, I mean, we don't get to see it.
Well, Bitcoin has finally made its way into a major political campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, do you all feel as though that Trump might be the best thing for Bitcoin?
Definitely seems like the most interested candidate in Bitcoin. And he's really the only one I've heard bringing it up. Not just crypto, but Bitcoin specifically.
He has specifically stated that self-custody must be protected. And he said, and I'm going to keep Joe Biden from taking your
yeah.
Bitcoin.
Elizabeth Warren and her goons.
Yeah, I'm going to let you have that one. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked about it for a few weeks about how Bitcoin can make a difference in the political world in the election that's coming up. You know, and have to say, Trump is the only one that is for it at the presidential level. Let me rephrase
right.
that. At the presidential level. And he's very outspoken about keeping it the way it's supposed to be and the freedom of it. Where on the other hand, Biden is the one that wants to put regulations in and be control and do the CBDCs. Trump's the one that said, we're not going to do CBDCs.
Right.
He's not going to allow that to
yeah.
happen so that there still be freedom. You won't be surveilling people and stuff. Biden wants, you know, to know whatever transaction you do and what you, how much you bought of that. And
well, the Biden administration initiated Operation Choke Point 2.0,
they did.
Too, where they were squashing businesses and people who were wanting to transact and purchase digital assets. And then he also wanted to propose a 30% tax yes. on energy used to mine Bitcoin.
Right.
Luckily, that did not go through.
I just want to explain to any members of our audience who don't know about Operation Choke Point. Operation Choke Point 1.0 was a concerted effort by the government to do away with certain businesses that
sure.
they found distasteful, such as guns, pornography, and so forth.
Prostitution, yeah.
Or anything and, they looked at and they didn't like.
Right, cigarettes.
That, because yeah. these the things were legal, but so what they did was they just used their buddies at the banking system inside the permissioned walled garden and said, you know what? We're not going to give them permission because we can. That's how the walled garden
can't
works.
You can't use your Discover card for that.
Yeah, sorry.
Right.
We know it worked yesterday, but you know what? We just changed our mind. We're not giving you permission anymore.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they were running brothels and stuff. And
sure. Yeah. And so they created Choke Point 2.0 and expanded their horizons. And not too good. Not too good at all.
Yeah. And again, you know, they're the ones that was trying to lay the groundwork for the CBDCs was Biden's administration.
But, you know, this is not a Republican or Democrat situation.
No.
There are many on the other side of either aisle that are behind Bitcoin and the benefit of having being able to purchase and hold digital assets. So this is definitely a nonpartisan issue.
Yeah. No, this is a freedom and liberty issue.
Absolutely it is. Yes.
Absolutely. Either you're in favor of the authoritarian power of the state on the one hand, mm-hmm. or you're in favor of an individual's right to be self-sovereign, one or the other.
You know, this is such a big issue that a recent study has come out, a poll that said that one-third of voters say they're weighing candidates' views on digital assets for their choice in the election. It's huge, and I would imagine that's growing because mm-hmm. this just came about not too long ago with Trump attending the Libertarian National Conference, and that has just taken off from there.
And like I always do, I want to bring it back local. I think this is the way we ought to look at everything at our local level. I mean, we all know that we can't change at the top. We have to start at the bottom. And I think that's the question that we should propose to a lot of our candidates in our own county and cities.
All politics is local.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if we keep doing the same thing, we were talking off air earlier about just one of the cities here in our county that it wants to take out a bond so that they can normalize their pay structures for their employees. And what's going to happen is once the employees get raises, then management's going to have to get raises
yeah.
as well because mm-hmm. now the employees are going to be at par with managers. So, and guess who gets to pay for that? It's going to be a bond measure. It's going to be on our property taxes. So it's we the people
mm-hmm.
that are going to pay for it. And, you know, presumably if these folks, you know, they're going to be paying for their own increase as well, you know, depending on where this this bond is going to be taxed. You know, if it's a Shasta Lake situation, then it's going to be to those Shasta Lake residents. But maybe if those people are working in living in Redding and work in Shasta, they don't have to pay for their own increase. Doesn't seem fair. Why don't we come up with something different, mm-hmm. something futuristic? Well, it's not so futuristic anymore.
No, not really.
It? But we have the resources and the capabilities. We just don't have the people at the top running things who wishes to get behind this and learn what it takes to be able to have a tier two income source.
Well, like we were talking off air, you know, some of the candidates or people that are in our local government. You know, not everybody knows about Bitcoin or
right.
cryptocurrency. And they, well, I don't know, so I can't talk about it or, you know, I'm afraid or whatever. Well, this is the opportunity to look at it.
Yeah.
That's all that we're asking for is it to be looked at to see.
Well, unless you've been under a rock, you've heard about Bitcoin at this
and
point.
Crypto, yeah.
And
yes.
if you are an elected official, no doubt you've heard about this. So you just, I think it's derelict in their duty to not even to
introduce
know more
it.
About
yeah.
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it'd be alarming to hear something like that from a local candidate because I almost want to say it's like, this is the money of the future.
Right.
No, this is the money of now.
It is the money of now.
And even, I think it's like he's either the 10th or the 14th richest person in the world. Michael Dell, that was just talking about it so much now and advocating for it and even accepting it as payment as so many others are. So it's just, this is the way that the world is going. Oh, this is what I was going to say. He said if he could give any advice to teens or young people, it would be to study and learn about crypto. And, well, yeah, he said crypto specifically because it's the framework of the future.
Right.
And a lot
right.
of the antiquated system is gone. So if you're not open to learning about it, it's okay if you don't know about it. But if you don't want to be open or not looking at it and you want to lead a city, that's alarming to me.
Sure.
Yeah. We were talking, you know, before we came on air, you know, when we were young,
yeah,
we thought even like the internet was something that was so far out mm-hmm. there. I mean, it was like, are you kidding me? You know, what have you been smoking? You think that, you know, we're going to have, you know, like cell phones and stuff. And look how we have evolved, mm-hmm. you know.
Can you imagine the Jetsons was actually portraying what was coming?
Exactly. Yeah.
And even when it comes to investing, this is now what my generation is looking at.
That's right.
So we definitely
yeah.
want to feel like we're understood and the things that we're interested in are also people that are leading us locally are interested in.
Good point.
You mentioned Michael Dell was talking mm-hmm. about the framework of crypto,
yeah.
right? And so Anthony Pompliano wrote an article about this as well mm-hmm. and saying, you know, what can the stock market tell us about crypto? And what he is saying, you know, it has arrived. And the stock market is, in many ways, the world's largest casino.
Yeah.
Okay, these managers who are working on the stock markets, their money managers, they need to have risk, they need to have volatility, and they're the best managers around for it. And why not support crypto? They're going to be bringing it in, and they want to trade crypto. It doesn't mean that all crypto will be successful, though. There will be many that of the 30,000 cryptos that are out there, many of them are going to go by the wayside. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about that a long time.
I want to reiterate, I think I've said this before, possibly
yes.
here, but, you know, Michael Saylor points out that if you look at what's happened in stocks in the United States in the last year, the S&P 493 for the last year is flat. The S&P 7 is doing great. So really, when it comes to stocks over the last year, there really is no second best. You have to be in that 7.
Right.
And similarly, of the other 30,000 cryptocurrencies besides Bitcoin, oh my God, there is no second best, not even close.
But
not even ETH.
Yeah. Bringing up the stock market, you know, people say, oh, well, I'm going to invest in stocks and all that. They don't have any qualms about investing in the stock market or worrying about it, but there's no guarantee when you buy X stock
right.
that you're going to make X amount of money, that everything's going to be good, you know?
Like after the election, as an example.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It goes up, it comes down. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, you mentioned about the stock market. There is only one asset on the stock market that has outperformed Bitcoin, but it may not last, and that's NVIDIA.
Of course.
But that's the only exception. It
yes.
is all. It has been Bitcoin all along, at
oh
least over the last decade.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I read that the other day. I had to take a double check and go, oh, well, this isn't going to last.
And one thing about Bitcoin versus the stock market is you have no control over the stock market, really. You do over your Bitcoin.
You know, we're big advocates for self-custody of Bitcoin on this show for a number of reasons. But don't
Correct.
Forget... all you have to do is go to your brokerage account and buy IBIT. Now is a great time.
Sure,
they're having
yes.
a sale on it this week. It's 10% off, but it's the same Bitcoin. So I highly recommend
I feel like
that.
I got to use Carla. It's 10% off. Come down to the local corner store and get.
I don't know how they are friends or neighbors.
So if you want to buy one whole Bitcoin, it's $6,400 off today.
Yeah. Step on up.
Ticker symbol IBIT, available at your local brokerage.
And what was today's, or do you have?
The IBIT is closed Friday at $36.45.
Yes. Toot, toot. And interesting, you say closed Friday. It doesn't trade every day because it's on the stock market.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yes, Bitcoin trades every day, 24/7, 365. You could buy it right now and have it close within, 10 minutes? Or if you have a Lightning wallet, it can go much quicker.
10 minutes really isn't.
That would be on-chain.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's not
on-chain, maybe a little bit more expensive, but, you know, that's if you're doing it old school, that would be the way, 10 minutes. Not 3 days. Amazing. Just amazing.
Yes, it is.
Now, you know, we were talking about Donald Trump, and we think he's the best Bitcoin president out there, mm-hmm. obviously. But the Winklevoss twins were willing to put some money in behind him as well, and they both donated $2 million in Bitcoin to Donald Trump. It was $2 million, 15 Bitcoin each, I believe, on the day that they did this. They each put in to his campaign.
Yeah, one of the few that is accepting Bitcoin.
That's putting your
campaign.
Coins behind your guy, definitely.
Yeah. And I think it was probably an easy choice for them to do this because, well, one, I don't know if people know, they were founders of Gemini, the exchange, and they can see, wow, he's pro-Bitcoin, pro-crypto, and pro-business.
And Gemini, these guys are twins, so hence the name, Gemini.
I think they're Olympic athletes also, are they not, or elite athletes?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Olympic qualifiers or something? At least
yeah,
collegiate.
But do you think that that might set the stage for some other candidates in the political world about Bitcoin?
Well, yes. You know, as you happen to mention it, there's somebody who's going to be attending a roundtable. Do you think that he'll understand what they're talking about, though?
Probably not.
Well, you know, the caption says, leaked. The Biden administration is going to attend a Bitcoin roundtable. Now, they say the administration. Does that mean that the big guy himself is going to go? Or he might just be, you know, carted in there and told where to sit, right?
Hard to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
how much coffee are they going to give him?
Well, Ro Khanna, he's a representative here in California, the 17th district. Mm-hmm. He is hosting a Bitcoin and blockchain roundtable in Washington, D.C. in July. And they sent our president a private email to invite him along. I think that they're seeing the writing on the wall that, Mr. President, you need to get behind this, and your silly executive orders trying to kill it need to go away.
Oh, my God, that was just horrendous. Yeah. An executive order, by its very nature, sidesteps the checks and balances that our founding fathers baked into our Constitution.
Well, you know, if we don't get on board, it's going to be like China, remember? China, you know, kind of oust everybody, and they thought that they could take control over Bitcoin, and that would curb everything. And they just said, you know what, later with you, we'll take it offshore.
Yeah. Really what all this is doing, too, is stifling innovation.
Sure.
And that's what I do love that Trump has said. We want all the Bitcoins mined here.
Not that they will be, but
to have that mentality. And, again, we're in the financial just renaissance, and it's like their current administration is making it hard for the U.S. to be a key player in this.
Mm-hmm. I love the word that he used. He didn't say mined. He said produce or manufacture, something like that. Yeah. I love that he made that mistake. Mm-hmm. That was so beautiful and innocent.
And I'm sure it was done on
purpose. Yeah. He doesn't say anything without a purpose.
But, you know,
it.
This is so significant. Paul Ryan, our former Speaker of the House, also came out and says, we must be adopting Bitcoin and other cryptos, stable coins. It's our only way forward to be able to get ourselves out of the mess that we're in right now. It's not very good.
Yeah, I believe, is it down in Georgia or somewhere, they have accepted Bitcoin as currency?
I believe so.
I believe it was down in one of those southern states.
And Colorado accepts it for their property taxes.
Yeah, they do. So,
The Winklevoss twins did compete in the 2008 Summer Olympics in rowing.
Okay.
So you did tell the truth.
Yeah.
I thought I made that up.
You heard it somewhere.
No matter what. Well, I think we're about to the end of the show, everybody. Great conversation.
Yeah,
love
excellent.
It.
Excellent.
Went by so fast.
I know.
As it always does.
Until next week.
Thanks
see
for
you
having
later,
me.
Folks. All right.
Bye.
Adios.
Bye.
Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's the name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Or Bitcoin as you're going into the old...
Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.